Father, we bless you and thank you for this time. As we come before you, O Lord, we ask you to manifest your word into our hearts, to write your word into us, to bring into us, O God, the substance of your word, defined in the spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ, established in his faith, manifested, O God, in his love, Father, that we may receive and realize of the fullness of Christ Jesus, even as we enter into the realities of your holy word, Father. So, Father, even as we continue, O God, with the discovering and understanding, O God, the flow of and intent of Scripture, Father, we pray that you will establish within us some foundational thoughts, Father, some foundational realities in you, Father, that when we open the word of God, we will expect this flow of the word to be unveiled in us, will be unveiled through us. That the flow of the word will enable us, O God, to become ministers of your word, Father. Ministers in counsel, ministers in prayer, ministers in worship, ministers, O God, in teaching, ministers, O God, in evangelism, Father, ministers, O God, in prophecy, ministers, O God, in building the church, teaching, Father. In whatever form of ministry and counsel, O God, that you want to bring forth in our lives, we pray that there will be this flow of Scripture being unveiled through us, Father. That flow of Scripture, O God, being revealed in us as a living and growing witness, Father. And that when we speak, O God, it is the Scripture that will unveil through us, Father. The Scripture that will permeate our emotions, the Scripture that will permeate our personalities, the Scripture that will permeate, O God, our thought processes. It is the Scripture that will manifest in every word that we unveil, Father. So that the Word of God will truly be performed, Father, even as you have always intended it to be performed, Father. That each one of us will become instruments of that performance, Father. That each one of us, O God, will be instruments through whom, O Lord, you manifest your word, Father, declaring the testimony of Jesus, unveiling the power of the cross, unveiling, O God, all that you have for us by the Holy Spirit, in the mighty name of Jesus. So, Father, as you teach us to enter into this awesome flow of the Spirit that unveils by the word, enable us, O God, to receive and realize the wisdom that comes in the name of Jesus, the knowledge that comes in the name of Jesus, the understanding, O God, that knows him, Father, the strength that will enable us, O God, to stand, O God, in the strength of the Lord, the truth, O God, that will set us free, that we will be alive to your counsels in a God-fearing faith, Father. So, Father God, work into us the wonder, O God, of being taught by you, Father. Work into us, O God, the awesome testament, O God, of what it means, O God, to be alive to the living God. What it means, O God, to become the workmanship of the living God. Of what it means, O God, to be created in Christ Jesus. Because all of the flow of Scripture, O God, is to unveil in the fullness of Christ Jesus. It is his fullness, O God, that is to fill all in all. And so we are the instruments of that fulfillment, Lord. Each and every one of us here, and all of our brethren across the world, Father, and in the heavenly places, both Jew and Gentile. So as we bow ourselves before you today, Father, we pray that you will truly reveal your word into us. Write it, O God, by the finger of God. Bring it forth by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Establish it, O God, in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fulfill it, O God, in the love of Jesus. And let everything that is established and fulfilled in us be expressed in holiness unto you, Father. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. The flow of Scripture, right? As a minister of the Lord, you're going to flow in the Scriptures. The Scriptures are going to flow through your thoughts, going to flow through your emotions, going to flow through your personalities, going to flow through your words, going to flow through your actions, going to flow through your being. You are an instrument, a vessel of the Lord. And everything that is going to be unveiled in you and through you is going to be defined in the Word of God. It is going to be defined in the Word of God. It is the flow of the Word of God that is going to establish you as a vessel of the Lord, as a servant of the Lord, as a son unto God, as a priest unto God. And whatever form of ministry that God gives you, whatever form of calling God develops inside of you, all that will be established in the flow of Scripture. And as the Scripture, as the Word of God flows into you and flows out of you, you will realize that you will begin to grow. You will begin to grow and you will begin to grow and you will begin to grow. And as you grow, you will rise into the mount of the Lord. And this process never ends. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 that you and I are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Because we are called to occupy the heights. We are called to occupy the heights, the high places. We are called to hold in our heart the realities of who our God is. And depending on how high your view of God is, that's the position you stand in before Him. All right? The flow of Scripture. You know the story of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. That he comes out of nowhere, he stands before Ahab, and he declares that he stands before God. And that through the words of his mouth, it would not rain. While he was physically standing before Ahab, in his heart, Elijah occupied a position before the Most High God. It was a position of authority. It was a position that God had brought him into. And you must understand and know that. Because James chapter 5, let's turn to that. James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 17 and 18 tells us this. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly. It is very important that you understand this, that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. But God had done a work in his life to bring him to a position before him. All right, and it says, in that position he prayed earnestly, that it might not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. It is very important for us to understand that this is a typical example of the flow of the scriptures in the prophets. And God is telling us to expect things that the Bible has been written to unveil a growing fulfillment into us. Right? And the scope of that fulfillment in your being is literally limitless. It is literally limitless because God will take you, right, to a position that is called in Psalm 91 verse 1, the secret place of the Most High God. And that's your dwelling place. That's your spiritual position. That's your position in the heavenly places. And the flow of the scripture is to raise you into these heavenly places. Don't look at it as being impractical. This is what the flow of scripture is all about. It's about the supernatural work of God in your life. You need to understand that you have to rise to such a position to be able to bless nations. And to bless nations is your destiny. So while you are beginning to enter into a ministry, you need to understand that God is apparently doing small things. But the foundations being established in these four small things are very, very crucial and very, very important. You need to learn how to do things the right way. You need to learn how to do things by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Because the kingdom of God is not going to be built by the intelligence of the systems of the world. It will never, never, never happen. Because the systems of the world stand against the knowledge of God. And we have to understand this. And that's one of the crucial things you are learning in this school. How to be taught by God. Many people dispute the fact that even God is real. Just imagine if He can teach you. Right? Just imagine if He can manifest your whole life. Just imagine that He can manifest your whole thought process, your whole personality, your emotions, your character, your nature. Just imagine what you will be when God unveils you in the image and fullness of Christ Jesus. So the flow of scripture is always there, brethren. You must know that there is life that is being brought alive inside of you. Life. The life that is of God. The life that is defined by the word of God. That's why in 1 John chapter 1, Jesus Christ is referred to as the Word of Life. Right? The Word of Life. The Word has to become life in you. It has to define your life. It has to define everything in you that will enable you to live. What we live in the world today is not what is life. But everything that God is going to bring into you through the Word of God is going to be life in you, a new kind of life. And you must understand this flow in Scripture, okay? This flow in Scripture, right? New kind of things God is going to unveil in you. Don't reduce Him to the level of your intelligence. Don't reduce Him to the level of your intellect, because He is not of your intellect and my intellect. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 55. This is a passage we are reading from the prophets, right? Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9. And this is very fundamental to how you think. God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And so you need to understand that it is the purpose of the Word to bridge this reality between where you are and where God is. The Word is meant to bring into you the reality of the thoughts of God. He will start at a low level and He will build it up. And as He builds it up, the Bible says He is taking you into heavenly places, or He is taking you into the mount of the Lord. And the flow of Scripture is establishing you in a position in God. It is not a physical position. It is a spiritual position. It has authority, right? And it has got power. And it unveils in a nature and a character that is consistent with that position God wants you to occupy. It is very important for you to understand that you must have a character that can hold that position. Because Lucifer didn't have the character to hold that foremost position that God gave him. He didn't have the right character. He didn't have the right nature. He didn't have the right intentions and desires in his heart. So as you start today, you need to understand that the right intents and desires have to be put inside of you through the Word of God. The right foundations have to be laid in you. If you think you can build on the wrong foundations, then one day you're going to be sorry, because one day God will demolish all that has been apparently built. If nothing else, to teach you a lesson. You don't want to learn things that way. Hello, we have spent a lifetime learning things that way. Enough of that. Let's get into the Word of God and let's understand what the thoughts of God are. Right? What the thoughts of the Lord are. So the flow of Scripture, right, is very important for us to understand. Okay? Because in the flow of Scripture is the development of the thoughts of God, the creative power of God, the inspiration of God being released into you. Right? You remember 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, right? That the servant of God, the man of God, is made complete through his word, through the Word. We will look at that shortly. I just want to look at another part of the verse here in chapter 55. Right? Verse 1 to verse 3. "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters." Now the waters represent the voice of God. The waters represent the flow of Scripture. Are you listening, brethren? Right? The waters represent the flow of the Word, the Rhema Word of God. The Word that is alive to you by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. The Word that comes to you in the will of God. And it says, "And you who have no money, come buy and eat." Isn't it amazing that you have no money and you can buy and eat? And that's what God wants you to do. How do you buy things from God? By setting your hope on Him. Hello. By setting your hope on Him. By expecting Him to bless you. Because He is by definition God. There's nothing you can give Him.
There's nothing you can bring to him except that which he provides you with. That's why he is God. He is all sufficient and he is self-sufficient. Are you with me? God does not need you. He does not need me. But he certainly wants each and every one of us with all of his heart. And that's what we must understand. He wants us to be blessed and he wants us to occupy the positions that he has ordained for us from the foundations of the world. And so he says, don't bring any money to me. I don't need the money. But come and buy and eat. Come and buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk. Right? Wine is new life. Milk represents the milk of the word. Without money and without cost. It is available to you as grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. It is not based on your merits. It is not based on your color. It is not based on your race. It is not based on your education. It is not based on your status. It is not based on your age. Without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? Why do you spend money on that which will not feed you and give you life? And your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. You see, the key word there is listen. And so in the book of Romans chapter 10 verse 17, we are told that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. In the word of God are the thoughts of God. Listen means listen in a submissive position. God is not our equal. So many people cannot learn from God because they think that they can discuss the word of God on an intellectual plane as if they are God's equal. Everything in the word of God has to be taught to us. That which is not taught to us, we don't understand, neither do we know. It doesn't matter how many PhDs you have after your name. If it hasn't been taught to you by the Lord, you don't know it. You may pretend to know it, but you don't know it. Because if you know it, it will be manifested in your life. It will be unveiled in your character, in your nature. It will be manifested in your personality. You will know God. So that's why he says, listen. Listen. I am God, and you are in no way my equal. Listen to me. Because this is the basis on which I will function with you. You will listen to me. All right? Verse 3. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. Listen that you may live. Because life comes from me. It doesn't come from you. It doesn't come from your greatness. It doesn't come from your achievements. It comes from me. Listen that you may live. Listen that you may live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, according to the faithful mercy shown to David. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. And all of the flow of Scripture is established in a covenant within you. See, the Bible is a book of covenant. When God teaches you the word, he wants to establish covenant with you. And that covenant involves your free will. That covenant involves what you listen to, what you believe in, what you desire, what you have chosen to pursue in God. That covenant has to be manifested inside of you. It has to be fashioned and formed into the tablets of your heart. Amen. You know there was an ark in the Old Testament. It was called by four different names. It was called first as the Ark of the Testimony. God has first got to testify. And then it was called the Ark of the Covenant. When you receive the testimony of God, That testimony ultimately becomes inside of you a covenant. Something by which you can live in God by. Something by which you can live through in God. So the testimony must become a covenant. That is all established through word. God testifies through his word by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. And God brings that testimony into a covenant within you. When we say Jesus is Lord, that is a position of covenant. It is not just a confession. It is meant to establish a position in Jesus Christ. When the Lordship of Jesus Christ is established in your heart, you occupy a position of authority in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's covenant. Amen. When the nature of Jesus Christ is fashioned inside of you, it brings into you the reality of a nature that is consistent with him, enabling you to open the covenant promises that stand in that nature. Are you listening? God will bless you. But like we said, if you do not have the character to hold the blessing, right? It is not going to be of any use to you. You will end up where Lucifer ended up, becoming a curse. Right? So you see, part of the covenant of God is to establish a nature within you. So what does God use his word for? One of the fundamental things that God uses his word for is to bring into you the nature of Jesus Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the word. Because Rhema word is the spirit and life of Jesus Christ. Are you listening? And that Rhema word of the spirit and life of Jesus Christ comes into you with a nature. Amen? And that nature is very crucial. That's how we change. That's how we have been changing. Right? That's why you have a desire to serve God. That's why you have a desire inside of you to know God. That came only after you were born again. You are open to the kingdom of God. You are open to the things of God. You are made alive to the things of God. And as God brings more and more of the word inside of you, it will transform you and change you. It will create in you what you don't have in yourself. So you must understand something in the word of God. You must understand the intent of the word of God. The flow of the word of God is to bring forth entirely inside of you that which you don't have in yourself. To bring into you that which you cannot conceive in yourself. That which you can never do in yourself. The purpose of the word of God is to create, brethren. And the Bible says that you and I are fearfully and wonderfully made. Are you listening? Let's turn to Psalm 139. Right? Psalm 139. Psalm 139 verse 14. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. So this verse tells us that you and I are fearfully and wonderfully made. But look at verse 17. We just read in Isaiah that the thoughts of God are above ours, even as the heavens are higher than the earth. But look at verse 17. Verse 17, the psalmist writes, how precious also are thy thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. How vast is the sum of them. How vast is the sum of them. For you and I to have vast thoughts, that's no big deal. For God to have vast thoughts, that's a totally different ballgame. And the scripture is saying to you that the sum total of God's thoughts over your life are vast. He's talking in terms of a reality that we just read. That the heavens are above the earth. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are God's thoughts over your thoughts. And that is the kind of thought process that God wants to invest in your life. That's why Ephesians chapter 1 verses 3 says you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, because the heavenly places unveil in heavenly thoughts, in the thought processes that God wants to invest in those He has called His sons. And the word son in the Bible applies to both male and female under the new covenant. Because that position of sonship is entirely defined in the fullness of Jesus Christ. And the fullness of Jesus Christ is not prejudiced on the basis of gender. So who receives the fullness of Christ Jesus? All that that fullness can unveil is available to that person, no matter who he is or who she is. And so this flow of Scripture, you have to enter into it. Now to enter into the flow of Scripture, you need the person of the Holy Spirit. You need the person of the Holy Spirit. Because it is the Holy Spirit who can make these kind of realities alive to you. Because such realities are described as a mystery. They are a mystery. You cannot intellectually analyze what it means to be blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Our Nobel Prize winners will not understand anything about it. Because it is a spiritual truth. It is a reality that God wants to bring into us by the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is something that is hidden in the depths of God. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's read just verse 6 for an introduction. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 6. Yet we do speak wisdom amongst those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. Verse 7. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. Alright? God's wisdom in a mystery. And you must understand that the word of God is essentially a mystery. Even simple words like love, faith have got a tremendous mystery behind them. Because if you knew love, you will be a totally different person from what you are today. If you knew faith, you will be a totally different person. You will walk in a totally different reality today. So in simple words like that, God is trying to tell us that there is a humongous mystery in God. All right, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. Hello, to whose glory? To our glory. Isn't it fascinating that God would want to predestine something to our glory? You need to understand that the flow of Scripture is to bring this glory into your being. Right? To bring this flow of glory into your being. The flow of Scripture is meant to unveil this glory into your being. This glory is light. When the word is revealed into you, it becomes light. Revelation is light received. Right? Revelation is light received. In John chapter 8 verse 12, Jesus calls that light the light of life. The illumination that enables you to live. Alright? In 1 Peter, in 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 19, we are called morning stars. We are called morning stars through the word that is birthed in our hearts. When the word within us becomes revealed and the revelation grows and grows and grows and grows, it unveils us as morning stars. See, the flow of Scripture is meant to unveil us as morning stars. So how vast are the sum of thy thoughts over my life, Lord? The psalmist sensed it. Jesus was given to us so that we will receive it. The psalmist thought something by inspiration. Jesus came to bring the reality into us. So the flow of scripture always involves the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must understand that. There is no flow to scripture without the name of Jesus. If you do not bring the name of Jesus into the Old Testament, you will find that the Old Testament is a closed book. It is a book that is locked into the pages of history. It has got great thoughts. It talks about great potentials. It talks about great promises. But it requires Jesus to make those promises flow into our lives. It takes Jesus to unlock the meaning of those promises into us meaningfully. You must understand that. Very, very crucial to your understanding of the flow of Scripture, the intent of Scripture. Everything in the flow of Scripture stands in the name of Jesus. And if you are not reading something in the name of Jesus, if you are not receiving something in the name of Jesus, you are just reading something that sounds great. It's a great philosophy. It's a great thought. But great thoughts and great philosophies have been expounded for donkey's years. They haven't changed anybody's life. It is the fullness of Jesus Christ that the Word of God is designed to reveal, that will bring forth this process of transformation. Are you listening? So Jesus Christ is the Word of God, and the Word flows from Him. The Word flows in Him. The Word brings forth all that God has invested in this name called Jesus. Are you listening, brethren? It's very crucial that you understand that. Jesus Christ must become preeminent in your listening and understanding of the Word of God. The purpose of the Word of God is to bring the preeminence of Jesus Christ firmly into your hearts, firmly into your thoughts, firmly into your character, firmly into your attitudes and intentions. And you need to understand that very clearly. And all this is a mystery, an awesome mystery. Let's turn to this mystery and see how God describes it. Verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. Are you listening? So you need to understand that this reality of being taught by God is very fundamental to God's process. God's process of salvation. It is very fundamental to everything that God intends to do with your life. Amen. Things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. Verse 10, for to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. And I want to stop there. I don't want to go on with the revelation and go into the details. I just want you to understand that it is the Holy Spirit who searches the depths of God. For the Word of God to come alive to you, you need the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God who makes the Word of God alive to you. It is the Spirit of God who makes Jesus Christ alive to you. He brings it through a revelation. He enables your eyes to see what it would not have never have seen. It enables your ears to hear what it would never have heard. He enables your heart to receive what your heart would never have understood before. So it is very important that you understand that in this entire teaching program, your relationship with God is what counts. You must expect God to teach you. Now all of you are supposed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. All of you can pray in tongues. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 2, Paul says that when you pray in tongues, you pray in a mystery. What does it mean you pray in a mystery? The moment you start praying in tongues, you can pray in the hidden things of God. The hidden realities of God are brought into your being. And you have to apply that ability to speak in tongues to the Word of God. Can you see that? And that's how the flow of Scripture will be manifested inside of you. It is the Holy Spirit who manages the flow. You see, when you pray in tongues, you pray and you receive in your spirit, man. But the Holy Spirit takes what is in your spirit, man. He develops it into your soul, man. Brings it through your mind. Brings it through your character, your emotions. And in that process, you are changed. That's why we talk about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And do you realize that the Lord says that the Word of God declares that the fruits of the Holy Spirit are a manifestation of a nature. Although the Holy Spirit brings forth wonderful gifts, it is the fruits that are very crucial to us. Because the fruits enable us to have the nature to operate the gifts the proper way. If you don't have the fruits of the Holy Spirit, it is 100% guaranteed that you will operate all things in carnal natures. Are you listening? Amen. So love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. What is all that? That is the nature of Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit has worked into you. How did the nature of Jesus Christ come to you? Through the Word. Because inherent to the Word is a nature. The nature that Jesus Christ came to define through His testimony. And the Word takes that testimony and communicates that testimony into you in the nature of Jesus Christ. And you change. Behold, your free will starts discovering new desires of doing things. Your mind begins to discover new things in God. Are you listening, brethren? It is so important for you to open your imaginations. You know the law of God. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. The Greek word for mind there is dianoia. God is talking about the imaginative mind. So come, open your imaginations. Open your thinking. We are talking here about the things of God. We are talking here about what God can accomplish. We are not talking here about your inherent abilities and my inherent abilities. We are talking about what God can bring into your life and my life. Now, why do we keep preaching this over and over again? Because it must become part of our subconscious and our unconscious. We must just think like this in God. That God is there 24 hours of the day. Hello? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is in you forever. He's not sleeping. He doesn't take a nap. He doesn't take a wild walk on the wild side or something like that. He doesn't fall off on the wrong side of the bed. Right? He is there continually alive to you. And you need to have this thinking process in you that God is there with you all the time. That His grace is alive to your being all the time. That He is doing something in you all the time. He doesn't take breaks. Are you listening? So all this you have to capture in the flow of Scripture, right? The flow of the Word. The thinking process, the flow of the river of life, the flow of living waters. You know, a lot of people talk about the river of life. The river of life is all about God's Word. But the flow of the river is by the Spirit. But the content of the river is the Word. If there is no Word, what are you going to receive? So you sit in the river of life. What are you going to receive? If the Word doesn't hook into you, if the Word is not established to you meaningfully, right? What are you receiving? Right? What are you receiving? What can you receive? All right? There is no doubt, right? that there is the flow of the river of life, that the intents of God's heart are that the word will flow into you, right? That's why Jesus told the Samaritan woman, the water I give to you will become inside of you springs of living water, or wells of living water, springing up to eternal life. Right? Those wells are all word-defined wells. Right? So you need to receive the word. You need to understand that there is purpose and intent to the word. And while this first module may sound to be like some nebulous theory, it is meant to fashion your thought process so that you don't be caught up with your mediocrity. Hello, or my mediocrity. Do you understand what I'm saying? God's thoughts are high. God's thoughts are designed to take you to a high plane. It's not meant for you to go around like a chicken picking up worms from the ground and saying, I'm being fed. You're supposed to be an eagle soaring in the winds of the Spirit. You are a son unto God. The fullness of Jesus Christ has been ordained to be given to you. Amen? All that is scripture. Right? So you must lift yourself above the mediocrity of this world that we live in, this darkness that we live in. That we go through this mundane life just going through the motions of living a life. And you've got to get yourself out of this darkness. And to get yourself out of this darkness, you need the realities that are packaged in the Word of God. The realities that are packaged in the Word of God that God wants to make alive into you. Make it alive into your thought processes. Make it alive into your emotions. Make it alive into your personality. Make it alive into your character. Make it alive into your conscious, your subconscious, your unconscious. Make it alive to your mind. Make it alive to the way you do anything and everything. The flow of Scripture is meant to unveil in your life. All right? You are meant to be a living testament of God's word. You are an epistle that God is writing. Are you listening? Right? And so you must rise to see that. And to rise to see that, God has equipped you with the ability to speak in tongues. So that you can energize into you realities that are not of your intellect. Realities that are not bounded by your IQ or your EQ or whatever it is. Realities that are far higher than all this. As my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. My ways from your ways, says the Lord. And you have to get into it, right? Praise the Lord. Amen. Making sense, brethren? Right? It's very important that you think right. Because if you don't think right, you cannot go into anything and do anything in your life. If the thinking is not right, the doing is going to be always wrong. Hello. If the thinking is not right, the doing is going to be always wrong. That's why God talks about thoughts. That's why Jesus said, it is not what comes into you that defiles you, it is what comes out of you that defiles you. There is a process of choosing to think. So arise and go forth, for the Lord your God is with you. Be strong and courageous. This process of being taught by God is going to be a challenge to you. It's going to be a challenge to your intellect. It's going to be a challenge to what you have considered real all your life. It is going to have a lot of spiritual warfare. Why do I say it will have a... Let's read that verse again. For the weapons of our warfare, verse 4, are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. These fortresses are over the hearts and minds of the human race. It's over the thinking of the human race. That's the fundamental stronghold over the human race. The thinking.
All right? We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Are you listening? All right? We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. I'm reading from the New American Standard. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So where is the battleground? The knowledge of God. What does this teaching process involve? The knowledge of God. What does this mystery involve? The knowledge of God. And what is Satan trying to stop? The knowledge of God coming forth. He is going to try and stop this mystery of God teaching you, of God developing you from coming forth in your life. He's going to fight you tooth and nail in the sense that he will bring doubt into your life. And the way he will bring doubt into your life is to unfold this thing called condemnation. He will tell you, you are a useless fellow. Look at your life. He will tell you, you are not smart enough for all these things. Or he will tell you, you are not spiritual enough for all these things. You are so carnal. What are you doing trying to learn the word of God? What are you trying to be smart, trying to be taught by God? You? And that's how he will bring it. Trying to belittle you and telling you over and over again, you cannot understand all this stuff. It is beyond you. And you have to battle it. You have to battle the doubt. You have to battle it because a double-minded man cannot get anything from God. Where is that written? It is written in the book of James. James chapter 1. Verse 2 onwards. James chapter 1. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in what? Nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Hello? And that's the reality we have to leave and discover the reality of the wisdom of God that will equip you and make you complete. You must understand this, brethren, that it is the word of God that will equip you and make you complete. And in order for the word of God to work in you, all you need to do is listen. And as you listen, the conviction to walk into what you are listening will come alive to you. Because as the word of God comes into you, it comes into you in the spirit and life of Jesus. Spirit is the enabling power of the anointing. Life has to be lived. Hello, if you don't live life, you cannot have life, correct? Hello, it is only to the extent you live that you have life. Now the spirit of God, the spirit of Christ, that spirit component of the word is to enable you to do all that you will otherwise be unable to do. So it's not a question of your ability. It's a question of what God can actually do with you. It's a question of your willingness to persevere with the things of God. It is your willingness to keep hearing the word of God. Because faith, which is substance, correct? Faith is substance. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. Faith is the substance of hope. Correct? Because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It is through the word of God that the substance comes inside of us. See, substance is tangible. Right? Substance is tangible. Amen? So if the substance comes inside of you, it is no question about you being able to grow. Amen? The substance will come with an evidence. Provided you keep your hope on the Lord. So for the flow of scripture to work in your life, there must always be this hope in God. Hope in God. Amen. And when you feel that you are hopeless, which can happen to the best of us, when you can feel really down and everything is crashing around you, you have a tool by which you can function in the Holy Spirit. And that tool is tongues. Hello, that tool is tongues. And that tool enables you to lock into God beyond your thought processes. I mean, you are feeling miserable. Everything is going wrong, right? Everything you touch seems to be turning the opposite way. Right? You're trying to go forward, it's going backwards. And try as you want, it all seems to be going backwards. It all seems to be crashing. Try as you want, it seems to be all, right, designed to be against you. So how do you get out of that? You get into the flow of Scripture. You get into the flow of God that God has already brought into your life. And as you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit will energize the Word inside of you. Hello, all these things don't happen instantly, all right? All these things are developed step by step by step by step. Line upon line, precept upon precept. The Word of God is not magical. Right? It has to be built inside of you step by step, line upon line. All right? So you have to learn how to walk by the Spirit. Step by step, line upon line, the flow of Scripture, right? It builds you, right? Gradually and systematically. But the systematic building is all by the Holy Spirit. It is a creative work, brethren. So for those of you who have not been baptized in tongues, I would really like to invite you to come for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to have a desire in you, to be enabled to be able to function by your Spirit in partnership with the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. And it's very important for you to understand that four times it is repeated in the Gospels that Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Amen? You need to understand that. It's so fundamental to getting into the mysteries of God. Otherwise, you will be bound by your intellect. You will be bound by your intellectual capacity. You will be bound by your ability to understand. And we see in part, right? And we know in part. Most things we don't know. God is talking about things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, what has not entered the heart of man. So how do you get into something like that? How do you get into what your eye cannot see? And how do you get into what your ear cannot hear? How do you get into something your heart cannot understand or receive? It is impossible. But God is telling you that by grace it has been given to you to receive and realize that reality. And that grace that has been opened to you is through tongues. Are you with me? All right. What is happening when you pray in tongues? God wants to energize the spirit and life that He has brought into you in the Word. What is He trying to energize? The contents of that Word. Hello, you are an angry person. You just blew your temper. You just said words that should never have been spoken. What is the solution to that anger? The love of Jesus. The peace of Jesus. The goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So where is the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of Jesus? How do you bring all that into your being? You turn to the Holy Spirit and you start praying in tongues, asking the Lord to release into you the meaning of the peace of Jesus, the meaning of the love of Jesus, the meaning of the goodness of Jesus Christ. Ask the Holy Spirit to release and energize inside of you the Spirit of Christ, to enable the life of Jesus Christ to flow into your character and your nature. I pray that every morning now. Since I came to understand that, I began to pray that because I need that. You need that. We all need that. We need it every day. Right? And so the Lord is asking us to energize that flow of Scripture. And the flow of Scripture can only be energized by the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Don't argue about these things. It is already written. That's why Paul says, I pray in tongues more than you all. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 6, Paul says, tongues brings into you revelation, knowledge, prophecy, and teaching. New things are revealed to you. New knowledge is brought inside of you. In the book of Hosea, chapter 6, verse 4, I think, God announces to the people of Israel, my people perish because they have got no knowledge. Right? They have got no knowledge. They are dying because of that. So how do we get knowledge that we cannot comprehend in our own intellect? We have to turn to the person of the Holy Spirit to bring the contents of the Word, what is contained in the Word, and make it alive inside of us. Energize it. Release it inside of us. Release the flow of the river of life. Are you with me? Make sense, brethren? And you must understand that the flow of the river of life has got many waters. Waters to deal with your character flaws. Waters to cleanse your evil thoughts. Right? Your hang-ups. Whatever it is. Also waters to bring forth new anointings and new blessings, new realities, new outlooks in life. Right? The potentials in the river of life. The river of life that is a flow of the Scriptures is infinite, brethren. Infinite. And God has made you and me able to partake and drink of these waters of life at any time of the day, whether you're standing on your head, whether you've had a bad day in the office, whether somebody scolded you, or somebody told you that there was new laws that tell you you cannot do this and you cannot do this, or you don't have these rights and you don't have those rights. But in spite of all those small things, right? The abundant waters of life are open to you and me 24 hours of the day, even in your sleeping hours, says the Lord. But you have to be able to think like that. Before you go to sleep, you must be able to think that God can bring into you even while you sleep. Right? Hello? Because you are made up of conscious, subconscious, and unconscious. You are a living being. Right? If you stopped functioning, you will be dead. Right? Your soul and your spirit are eternal. So arise and take hold of this river of life that is there all the time. Hello? When you understand that the river of life is flowing into you, one day you will be able to minister and the river of life will flow out of you. Jesus says, rivers of life, rivers of living water will flow out of you. What are living waters? Waters that contain life. Waters that describe the ingredients of new life. And these rivers of waters, these rivers of living water are available to every Christian. Whether you're dark-skinned or white-skinned. Whether you have 9 PhDs or you didn't pass kindergarten. Right? It is available to you at all times. In all situations and all circumstances. It's a question of what you're going to look at when things go wrong. What you're going to look at when things become difficult. Are you going to look at the problem? Or are you going to look at the solution that rests in the power of God? Everything involves a choice. And sometimes God takes us through hardships to enable us to make the choice in that situation. So that your faith will be perfected in that situation. So that in that situation you will discover the water of life and have a new skill. That in such a situation you can still find a solution. In such a situation you can still live. In such a situation you can walk on water. In such a situation you can overcome because of what God has given you. So brethren, open your hearts. We are ending this module. the flow of Scripture, the intent of Scripture. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, brethren. John 1:16 says, "For of His fullness we have all received grace upon grace." Don't disappoint the Lord. He didn't say merit upon merit. He said grace upon grace. All of the Word is designed to unveil the fullness of Jesus Christ. Because the flow of Scripture only exists in the fullness of Jesus Christ. Because the flow of Scripture has an intent of fulfillment. Are you listening, brethren? Amen. The law is to be fulfilled. The prophets are to be fulfilled. The Psalms are to be fulfilled. All those angry words that David spoke when he was in trouble. Oh Lord, destroy all my enemies. And Jesus comes in the Sermon on the Mount and he says, pray for those who curse you. Hello. Right? Pray for those who curse you. That's the solution to the Psalms. Right? But David in his emotions just simply wrote in the Psalms, oh God, destroy my enemies. Remove them from my life. Right? And Jesus came as the real David and he said, this is the psalm and how it should be sung. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those who curse you. Love those who hate you. Right? Bless those who despitefully use you. But do you realize that all that is part of the fulfillment of the Psalms, brethren? To bring into you a new reality. To rise above the hatred and manifest the power of God. So it's a challenge. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. But what I'm saying is that when you discover it, you have found an entirely brand new way of living. And there is nothing in the world system that can compare with living in the flow of God. Living in the flow of God by the Spirit through the Word. Don't forget that. It cannot be by emotions, brethren. God has to define the Word inside of us. So don't turn away from the Word because you are intellectually incapacitated. This Word has got nothing to do with your capacity or your intellect. This Word has got everything to do with what God can do. And always remember this, brethren, your God is a creator. Your God can create in you what you don't have, but you must be willing to set your hope for it. You must be willing to set your hope for it. So you find it hard to remember things. You set your hope on the Lord that He will bring the Word of God alive in your heart. Are you listening? So praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You for this awesome reality called the flow of Scripture, Father. The intent of Scripture. And Father, even in this module one that You have given us, Father, You have brought into us, O God, a thought pattern that we are called to absorb. A thought pattern by which, O God, You will bring into us new thoughts. A thought pattern that will continue to expand as You bring into us new realities that stand in Your Word. So, Father, at this time we pray that You will release, O God, into the lives of each person here and all those who are going to listen to these tapes, Father. The awesome potential, O God, of the flow of the Word of God. The flow of the Word that You mean to perform, Father, in accordance with Your will and Your intentions in each and every one of our lives. Indeed, Father, the Word declares that Your thoughts are vast over each one of us. Let the vastness of those thoughts flow into our being, and let the vastness of those thoughts flow out of our being, that we will truly be servants of the living God, ministers who will be a blessing in all that we become. In all that we do, Father, in thought, word, and in deed. So, Holy Spirit, we pray that You will overshadow us at this time. Fill us and unfold in us the Spirit and life of Jesus that will enable us to enter into this flow of the Word that You bring into our lives. So we pray, Father, that all things be done to the glory of Your name. We bless You and thank You as we offer You our hearts, asking You to write the Word into our hearts, asking You to manifest the substance of that Word into our hearts, asking You to create in us that witness that will enable us to function in the Word at all times and all situations and all circumstances by the Holy Spirit, Father. We pray all things in the name of Jesus, thanking You and blessing You for the humongous impartations that You have made to us at conscious, subconscious, and unconscious levels. the impartations that you have released into our spirits, the impartations that you have worked through our souls, the impartations that you mean to develop even in our bodies, Father. So we give you glory and honor, worship and praise, as our hearts and our minds are opened to the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you have a questionnaire in your hands. It's called Module 1, Understanding the Flow and Intent of Scripture. And we have done this in 3 tapes. And you are supposed to hear those tapes and then answer these questions. The first question says, can you see that one of the abiding intents of Scripture is fulfillment? Right? We have talked about that. You need to think about this thing called fulfillment. You need to pray in the Spirit for this word fulfillment to be birthed inside of you. Because this word fulfillment has got bigger meanings than what we superficially understand. And so it says there that the Word of God has fulfillment in you. Right? If it doesn't have fulfillment in you, it does not have any meaning to you. Correct? And once you understand it, it has got fulfillment in you, then you have to understand that it has got fulfillment in the body of Christ. And you need to understand that that fulfillment is something that you need to partake in, to be a blessing in the body of Christ. Then you also need to understand that there is also fulfillment for the sons of Abraham and the nations. Now we won't be doing very much on that. We will be focusing on the first 2 aspects. Right? Yourself and the body of Christ. Now it's not because the sons of Abraham are not important or the nations are not important. All right? But we want to focus on what is relevant to us in the ministries that we will undertake here. All right? But you need to understand that there is fulfillment for the sons of Abraham. The sons of Abraham come as the sons of Ishmael, which today form the Arab nations. Correct? And there is prophecy that blesses them, and we will do them at some time in the future. And of course, there's a humongous amount of prophecy that blesses the children of Israel. And we must understand that we must always remember them in our prayers, praying for them. Okay? And then the nations. If you look at Revelation 21, you find that there are nations. Right? After new heavens and the new earth, after the great judgments of God, there are nations. All right? We don't want to speculate as to how those nations come about. I don't want to go into that. But there are nations in Revelation chapter 21. How they come about, how God judges them, on what basis God judges them. Right? We are not going to talk about all those things. Because a lot of it is just speculative. The Bible does not have the intention of explaining that to us. What the Bible wants is for every human being to come into the reality of the Scriptures that unveil us as members of the body of Christ, okay? So you need to understand this word called fulfillment, okay? So I want you to take this, that one sentence, and pray about it before you answer the question. The question is very obvious. Superficially you know, okay, there's fulfillment, okay, the Bible has got fulfillment. But that's not what we are talking about. We're talking about something that is birthed into your spirit. Okay? So you need to pray about it, not answer the question superficially. Alright? The next question. Can you see that the fundamentals of Scripture will be established through the fulfillment of the law, the prophets, and the Psalms? Now we will be doing that in great detail throughout this program. But the fundamentals of Scripture are built from the Old Testament and they flow into the New Testament. If you look at the Old Testament, the building blocks of the Old Testament are the law that came through Moses, the lawgiver, the prophets, all those prophetic things, the promises, the blessings of God. Right? Are you with me? And the Psalms. The Psalms are what human beings expressed before God. Some of them were awesome Psalms. Psalms expecting great things in God. But other Psalms express the carnality of man. The anger, the frustration. Why is the ungodly man being blessed? And I who am praying to you, Lord, why am I struggling like this? You find that in Psalm 73, I think. Right? Psalm 73 or Psalm 76. Alright? He just writes that. Right? All the ungodly fellows are getting richer and richer, Lord, and here I am struggling. And then the Lord gives an answer. When you look for them tomorrow, they won't be there. And nobody will even remember them. Nobody will even know they existed. But you will abide before me forever. All right? So there is that. So you need to think about it, right? Think about what you have understood in the scriptures so far, right? You see, this whole program is meant to be contemplative. That means it is meant to be alive to you through your thinking process. You're supposed to think about things. And more importantly, what you think has to be articulated through what you speak. Right? So look at that congregation that stands before you. That congregation that looks exactly like you when you look in the mirror. And preach to them. Right? Don't forget that. Right? Preach to them. Right? Preach to her. Preach to him. All right. Okay. Can you see that the fundamentals of Scripture will be established through the fulfillment of the law, the prophets, and the Psalms? Very important that you understand that the Bible is one integrated whole. All right? Moses didn't write something in isolation. Elijah didn't do something in isolation. Isaiah didn't write something in isolation. All of it has got meaning and fulfillment. And if you can discover that, you are a blessed person. If you can discover that in your own life, you are an awesome blessing in the making. All right, where's the next Kolki dot? Can you understand that by fulfilling the scriptures, God testifies of himself and the intents of his heart? And that is so, so important, brethren. The whole intent of the scriptures is to open God to you. You need to know him, you need to love him, you need to belong to him. And if you don't understand that, go back to the Lord and pray. Hello. Prayer is the most basic process by which you learn from God. Prayer is the most basic process by which you learn from God. You have to ask, you have to seek, you have to knock. And you ask for the Holy Spirit. Now prayer can be just a thought. Oh Lord, what does this mean? That's prayer. That's a request for an answer from God. Oh Lord, teach me this. Oh Lord, when will this become real to me? Oh Lord, make that alive to me. That's prayer. That's why it is so important to think through this. Because when you think through things, you will begin to ask the right questions. You will take the questions to the only person who can give you an answer. Hello. So many people run to pastors and say, oh Lord, pastor, how do I do this? How can I do that? How can I do this? All right, so the pastor gives you an answer. And we very conveniently think that it's a wonderful answer. It is probably something just on the scratching the surface. Right? But you take it to God and God will answer you through your life. God will answer you by changing your character. God will answer you by creating within you the thinking process. God will answer you by changing your nature. God will answer you by transforming your free will. It will take time, but the answer is real. That answer will live inside of you forever. That's how God answers. So take your questions to the Lord. I don't understand this. All right. He will give you an answer. Hello, it is your right to understand the scriptures. It is God's desire to explain the scriptures to you. The only question is, are you prepared to wait for the answers? Amen? So think about that, brethren. Right? All right. The next process. Can you understand that by fulfilling the scriptures, God will unveil a new creation conformed to his will? Amen? That's the purpose of the scriptures. To manifest the purpose and will of God. To manifest it inside of you. You see, people tried to obey God by obeying the law. It didn't work. So the only way it's going to work is if God takes the scripture and fulfills that scripture in your nature. Then you will do what you didn't want to do before. And when God fulfills the scripture, he will bring it inside of you so as to cause you to walk in it. That process of causing you to walk in it is so important for you to understand. Amen. So please understand this, that you are reading the scriptures and God will cause that scripture to be built into you, cause that scripture to come out of your life, cause that scripture to bring. You should ask God for that. The book of Isaiah says, give him no rest. Right? God asks us to give him no rest. But that means that you keep pursuing it in him. Don't just ask the question and forget about it. Now there are many things that we will ask and forget about it and God will answer. But the things that are basic and fundamental, just keep going after them, all right? The next one, do you understand that the scriptures are fundamental to receiving and realizing the blessings of God? Why do I say that? Because the blessings of God have to be defined in you. They have to be defined in consonance with your character, your nature, your thinking. You can't give a garland to a monkey. It may be the smartest monkey amongst all the monkeys. A monkey is by nature a monkey. It is pointless giving a garland to a monkey. The monkey will never learn how to use the garland. So that's what God is talking about. Yes, he can bless you. It is his desire to bless you. But if we are what we have been all our lives, then how can anyone give us a blessing? Because we will convert every blessing into a curse. We will misuse it. Are you listening? Okay? So the word of God is meant to bring a blessing inside of you, okay? Will you commit yourself to receiving and understanding the scriptures? That's between you and God. Hello? But that's covenant we are talking there. Are you willing to receive and take hold of the scriptures? Are you willing to hold God to it? Right? Set your hope on him. Open your heart to him. Right? Praise the Lord. Read the scriptures. Okay? In these last three tapes that we have done, we have spoken so many scriptures. Will you take the time to look up the scriptures? Remember, it's the scripture that stands forever, all right? Nothing else in the world that you have around you is going to stand forever. Hello? Nothing else that you see around you is going to stand forever. The word of God says that the word of God stands forever. All right, praise the Lord. Next question. Will you commit yourself to waiting on God to put the scriptures into the tablets of your heart? Waiting on God doesn't mean you do nothing. Like Newton sat under the apple tree, is it? Until the apple fell down or something like that. No, he didn't do that. Anyway. But what you need to understand is that waiting on God, use tongues to wait on God. It's all there, brethren. You've received so much from God. Do you understand that the only way in which God can make a covenant with you is by writing the word of God into the tablets of your heart? Amen? All right? That is the only way God can make a covenant with you. And do you realize that writing the word into your heart is an entirely supernatural process? You can't do it intellectually. It is a spiritual process. Amen? Alright. Do you understand that this is the way in which God will teach you his word forever? And you must understand that. And you must seek to understand it. Because that is a seemingly simple question. But being taught by God is by itself a learning process and a discovery that will go on forever. Praise the Lord. Are you listening? Shall we just pray? I hope that each one of these questions will be handled through prayer. All right? Before you put that axe there. All right? When you have put the axe on all the questions, bring it to me and I'll sign at the bottom and you can sign at the other side. And remember, we are doing this before God. So yes, there are no exams here. But everything that we are talking about here is before God. All right, shall we pray? Father, as we answer these questionnaires, as we look at the at what the flow of Scripture is meant to be to us, Father, we ask you to bring forth the understanding into each one of us. Bring it forth with a conviction. Bring it forth, O God, with a confidence. Bring it forth, O God, with a passion. Bring it forth, O God, with an imagination, Father, that we will see, O God, the awesome potentials in the Word. So release, O God, that awakening within us. Open our hearts to see. Open our hearts to hear. Open our hearts to receive, Father. And we pray, Lord, that as we receive and realize from you, we will be a blessing to others. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.